stuff, prayer every day at 12:15, and Thursday prayer, amen. And of course, we're going to be doing Sunday, amen. Pretty, you got anything? All right. Well, we're going to get cranked up, and all this lesson is a finishing lesson. We're just going to finish off, amen, Enoch. And so I just had like a little bit left, amen. So we're going to do what we got to do, work up in the scriptures, and then we're going to get out of here, you know. I don't foresee it taking it long, but of course, you know. Hallelujah. Yes, I am a teacher, you know. So let's look at Hebrews 11. We'll start reading that verse 1 to kind of give us where we need to be. Amen. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come on, give God some glory for his word, amen. That's a beautiful section of scripture. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless us as we deal with this last part, as we talk about the rewards for seeking you. Just open our hearts and open our minds and give us a thirst for you, Lord. Let us pant for you. Let us thirst for you like the deer pants for the water brooks, oh God. Do something in our hearts tonight, God, that'll make us spend some time with you, Lord God, this week, more than what we normally would. We just ask that you would do it by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, you know we in the book of Hebrews, amen, and we got to this Hebrews chapter 11, which is like, you know, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It's all about faith. It's all about the heroes of faith. And so that chapter could be separated into two distinct portions. You got the definition of faith, and then you have the history of faith. And we've been talking about the history of faith, you know. We talked about Abel. Amen, who was one of the first of the antediluvian patriarchs to operate in faith. And then we just jumped on Enoch, if you remember, talked about who Enoch was, the seventh from Adam, a prophet, a scribe, who would eventually write the book of Enoch. Then we talked about what happened to Enoch. Enoch was translated. And that word translate means to be carried over, to be brought over. And that's what happened to Enoch. He was brought over. Brought over what? Brought over death. He was brought straight from earth to heaven. And the unbroken chain of death that reigned from Adam, Enoch was exempted from it. Amen. God excluded him from him. And he just was caught up. Amen. And it was a tremendous deal because he was the first one to be caught up in that fashion. Then we looked at the fact about Enoch pleasing God. And we went to Genesis and saw how the Hebrew writers said it. They say he walked with God. And we saw that pleasing God and walking with God being a synonymous thing consists of communing with God. And it consists also of living for God. And so we talked about that as well. We got to our first point of the lesson that I'm in right now, and we talked about how without faith is impossible to please God. And so we just said that anything that we could do on this earth, amen, would not be of any value to God if it's not mixed with faith, if it's separate from faith. It don't matter if it's good works, if it's religion. It doesn't matter your lineage that you was born in. It doesn't matter the nationality you are. You could be Hebrew, amen. If you don't have no faith, amen, Hebrew blood is not going to do you any good. Only thing we can give God, y'all, is our faith. That's all he wants. He just wants us to believe him and trust him. Because, you know, when you go back in the garden, that's what happened between God and mankind. We just didn't trust him. when he said, don't eat, and the serpent come and say, eat. And he had been so good to us, but it was a breach of trust. We just didn't trust him. And what the enemy did, he said, had God not said, and he said, you know, God know that if you eat, you're going to be like him. You're going to be as God. It was a trust situation. And if you look at humanity and the annals of history, if you look at God's relationship with us, it's just him trying to win back that trust. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe the world. Don't even believe your own self. Trust God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And so that's what faith is all about, you know. And then we said, we started off with that second point, amen. And we talked about without faith it's impossible to please God. For anyone that comes to God must believe that he is. And we use that, amen, as the foundation of faith. Because the he is represents you got to believe in the existence of the Almighty. You got to know that he's up there. And if you kind of shaky on the existence of God, it's going to be a crumbling of every other aspect of your faith if you're shaking on whether he exists or not. You know, that's got to be a cornerstone. That's got to be like a no-brainer. And so we just went through in that point, and we just went through just all the facts about creation. And we talked about the motion of creation. We talked about the conscience of humans, of mankind, amen. Just trying to prove to you, amen, that everything wasn't done randomly, that everything wasn't just arbitrary, and everything just didn't happen from some giant explosion from nowhere. No, I was a creator God who did this, who purposed it, amen. And if there's a creator God up there who purposed everything, then he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for your marriage, for your children, amen. A purpose for this earth, amen. And that purpose is going to be realized, and we're going to meet him again, amen. So you got to believe that he is, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. And now we get to this third point. That's all we're going to cover tonight, y'all. We're just going to cover that. Your chest still going to be cold before I'm done. You know what I'm saying? It's still going to be chilly. Listen, man. All right. So we want to talk about this third and final point, a rewarder. A rewarder. You know? And the truth of the matter is it winds up being one of our hallmark scriptures. It's something that we say all the time in this church. And we've come to it now, you know? And so without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You see, the scripture comes to life. You know everything about this. Then we come to this. Believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let's break that down and just let's look at that. All right. I want to start off with that precept. And I'm going to start off with it from, amen, the bottom of the scripture, and I'm going to move all the way back up to the middle of it. So I'm going to start off with the seek him. Somebody say seek him. Seek him. All right, let's start off right there. All right, because it's important. It's important. You see, before I talk about the rewards, amen, the seek him is essential for you to understand. All right? Because we all want rewards. We all want the blessings. All right? But the way to get the blessings is to do what? Two words. Seek him. All right? All right? You don't seek the blessings. You don't seek the blessings. You don't seek the money. You don't seek the fame. You don't seek the popularity. You don't seek the praise of men. You don't seek none of those things. Two words. You seek what? Seek him. This is the recipe right here. This is the recipe. All right? This is the recipe. And every now and then in life, we got to be reminded about it. All right? We got to be reminded about it. Because you can start off on track seeking him, getting rewards, and then all of a sudden, amen, you start looking at the rewards. And you got to just be reallocated. You got to just be brought back to this place where you say, okay, wait, let me go back to the fundamentals. See, every athlete, when you play a sport, every now and then you lose the fundamentals. And you got to be brought back to the fundamentals, you know? And we in softball right now, so it's just popping up in my head. And so the fundamentals of softball is that the swing is not a hard swing. It's not a hard swing. When you try to swing hard and kill a ball, like I was doing just this past game, when you try to swing hard, you're either going to miss it, you're going to pop up, you're going to hit it straight down, all right? Somebody say the fundamentals. But what happens is when you see somebody swing with the fundamentals, you know what I'm saying? You watch them swing. You watch Didon swing or Cardell swing. It looked, Tyrone, like they're not even really. It just looked like a little glide. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it pow, like, whoa. You know? And so you get up there and you say, I could do that. And you say, man, I'm bigger than him. I'm stronger than him. And you get up. You see, you're looking at the result, but you done lost sight of the fundamental. Oh, God, have mercy. Hey! See, when you get into Christ, you're going to start getting things. You're going to start getting blessings. And I equate that to good shots, good hits. See what I'm saying? But sometimes the good hits can make you lose focus. And you're like, I'm going to kill it next time I get up there. Well, Pastor, what's the fundamental in our walk you're talking about? Two words, seek him. And you don't take your eyes off it. Because the moment you take your eyes off it, what happens is, just like in the swing, you start to pop up. You start to use all your strength, but you're not hitting the ball flush. There's not only a sweet spot on the bat, there's a sweet spot on the ball. And if you, oh, God have mercy. Deli, you could do better than me. Come on. Two words, Philly. Seek him. You see? We can't seek the rewards. It's not seeking the things that he can give, but seeking the giver of the things. Learning his ways, his words, his attributes, his likes, his dislikes. It's a funny thing. The world of God is opposites. The harder we go after the thing, Curtis, the further it gets from us. The more we turn our back on it and seek him, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And come on, Philly, two words.
Seek him.
All right, so we got that. So what does seeking him mean? You know, I want to deal with it on an individual level and then on a corporate level and then on a national level. Individually seeking him, amen, means to spend time with him, just like Enoch. Remember our context. We're talking about Enoch and how he pleased God. Well, what did Enoch do? He communed with God. He walked with God. He was the first one since the Garden of Eden to walk with God again. And God had missed that. He missed walking with humanity. And I tell you here tonight, God wants to walk with you. He wants to walk with you. Wants to walk with you. You know? He's done all that he's done on the earth for relationship with us. And it's an amazing thing because he don't need us nor y'all. You know? He is walking with Adam, just walking and talking. He don't need to walk and talk with Adam. You know? That's what the old Puritans used to be amazed at. They'd say, God, how can it be? You know, that you would die for me, that you would want to fellowship with me. You know, when the Bible describes humanity, it don't describe us as good insects. It describes us as a worm. And usually that Hebrew word worm is not one of the better worms. It's the worms you find at the bottom of the trash can. Living in the filth, loving the filth. Can you see yourself wanting a fellowship with that kind of worm? And that's why this amazing thing that God does to want to be in fellowship with us, to want to commune with us. That's why the angels can't understand it, Ma. They look down and say, what in the world is going on? Here we are in heaven so high, God is holy up here. But you want to go down there to the bottom of the trash can? The way we seek him is to spend time with him, to commune with him, to walk with him, you know? And I can put some words on it, but you already know it. Individually, it means to pray, to have a set time when you get down on your knees before God, or to bow down before God, or to just close your eyes before God. God wants you to pray. Praying is you talking with God. And I'm going to tell you just from a realistic perspective, praying is one of the hardest things to do individually. It really is. And I don't know if I'm the only one who finds it that way, but it is. Especially when you got a lot to do. You got cell phones always vibrating, people always calling. They mad at you for not picking up. They mad at you for not texting back. And it's like you want to text him and tell him, man, I'm with God, man. Y'all chill out, man. I only have this phone because I've been seeking him. You know what I'm saying? I only am who I am because I've been seeking him. So let me seek him. But so many things pull at us, Des, when we're trying to seek him. We be out there, we say, man, I'm going to pray. You know, we pass by the TV on. Oh, news, something just happened. We done lost track. I'm going to pray tomorrow morning. Somebody knocking on our door. Wake us up early. Now we got to leave. We got to move fast. You see? You can't wait for yourself to have time to pray. You got to make time to pray. All right? Because you're never going to have time to do it. You're never going to have time. You just got to say, I'm just going to do it, Lord. And whatever I miss, I miss. You know? The old Puritans used to say, man, they'd say, the boys would say, they'd say, I got too many things to do to pray. And they'd turn it, they'd say, you got too many things to do not to pray. Better find some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? So in your life, amen, you're gonna find different times, amen. And your time is either gonna be the morning or it's gonna be the evening, and some people gonna do both, which is optimal, you know. But you gotta find your little time for him. We're talking about seeking him. You see, we wanna get to the rewards, but you gotta know what the seeking him is. Is the praying. Is the opening up that Bible and letting him speak to your soul. You know what I'm saying? Is you getting other books, amen, that talk about God. Is you listening to sermons. Is you seeking him, you know? That's what Enoch did, and that's what that means individually. Now, if we take it on a corporate level, when I talk about corporate, I mean many people. I'm talking about church. What does it mean to seek him as a church? As a church, to seek him means that we attend church, you know. We come to church on Sundays, you know. Got a lot of churches, amen, attendance is very low on Sundays. It's reminiscent of a people that's not seeking him. They have a membership roster of 500, but only 100 there on Sunday. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And so corporately, what that means for you when you say, Pastor, I want to know what it is to seek him. Okay, in your individual life, pray, get in the word, fellowship with the people of God. That's seeking him. Get you some extra biblical material to read. That's seeking him. Learn his word, learn his ways. Amen. But on a corporate level, seeking him means when the doors of the church is open, you come on in. All right? You come on in. We're talking about rewarding. We're talking about rewarding. And the things that I'm mentioning to you will get you the rewards that I'm about to enumerate. All right? Every time you pray, every time you open the Bible, every single time you don the doors of this building to come in, all right, you are putting yourself in a position to be blessed. And that's why you're more blessed right now than you were when you started. All right? All right? You're putting tokens in your account. You're getting favor upon you every time you come here. All right? And you're here tonight. You're here tonight. And I got a word for you. God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. All right? All right? Because you didn't come here for me. You didn't come here, amen, the music is good and that. You ain't come here for music. You came to seek him. You want a word from him. All right? God, let me learn something about you, all right? That's the seeking him. That qualifies us for blessing. And you got to believe it. You got to believe it, all right? You got to believe it. And it's important, all right? So corporately, seeking him is attending church, attending Bible study, showing up for prayer when we got prayer. You see what I'm saying? Because when you want to be blessed, amen, you pump up seeking him, all right? You pump up seeking him. In corporate America, when you want to be blessed, you go work 7 days a week. You go get you a job that's going to keep you from church. You're working all the time and you're like, what's going on? What you doing? Man, I'm trying to get my money, man. I got kids to put through this. I'm going to get that blessing, man. Hold on, cowboy. You're going about it the wrong way. You understand what I'm saying? No. Two words, Philly. What? Seek him. See him. Because you could be home and he going to open. I'm going to show you in a second. He going to open up some doors. He going to open up some doors. It's always been our policy as a church, you know, that any work that take you away from the house of God for any long period of time, any duration, it should only be temporary. You know? I myself personally would never do it. All right? Because I know that my soul is more important than where I lay my head at night. I'm going to take care of this right here. Oh, y'all hearing me up in here? Two words, Philly. And the more you seek him, the more rewards you're going to get. Oh, my God. You had church. You had Bible study. You're showing up for prayer. You're fellowshipping when the people of God fellowship. You don't even like the sports, but you out there. You understand what I'm saying? They laughing at you when they put you in the game. It don't matter. I'm out here, and I'm going to get me a reward for being out here. I'm with the people of God. He said, where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. I'm seeking him. I don't care what they play. They could play chess, checkers. They can start a lagging Philadelphia team. We out there. Wherever the people of God at. You know? But watch this. Let's keep on going. He say, just going back up. So seek him. But it says that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Oh, come on. We got it. Every word is important right here now, y'all. Pastor, I thought you said you're going to be out early. Well, we in it now. It's on. Somebody say diligently. This word diligent means to be persistent. It means to be persistent, man. It's not a one and done, man. We used to go to church like that. Remember that when we was in religion? We show up for what holiday? Easter? Christmas? You know what I'm saying? That's not the diligently seeking him. Nah. And truth be told, we was doing it for other people to get off our back. I went to church. But diligently seeking him means to persistently seek him. It means, amen, if we look at your life pattern, it's a life pattern of continual church attendance. It don't mean that things not going to happen and you go out of town and stuff like that. But you understand when I talk about your life pattern, huh? If we had to put your life on a continuum, would we see a church goer, a Bible study attender? Would we see a prayer warrior? Would we see somebody who read the word? If we had to average in, if we had to take the mean of your life, and would you do? You understand what I'm saying? How many days of the year will we find you at the house of the Lord? You see? It's a persistent thing. You know? Your family don't call you at that time because they know where you at. You understand what I'm saying? And when you're not there, they say, well, what happened? Y'all didn't go to church? They won't touch your head. You all right, Miss Aolu? You sick or something? Somebody say diligent. It's a persistent seeking. It's a seriousness, y'all. We're not here to play. And we're going to have fun and stuff like that. But, man, listen, I'm coming to church, man. And y'all better be dressed, because if y'all not dressed and I'm trying to get here on time, especially if it's a Sunday, because you know they're serious about seats at Philadelphia, I got to get to my seat. Oh, I heard about the seat walls up in here. Tyrone, they got seat beef up in here, man. The church is something serious, man. They come in Saturday night leaving stuff on the seats, man. Cops calling me along going off. Looking at the camera. Oh, that's Minister Duck up in here hiding stuff. They saving seats, man. You know? Now, while listen. While we on the subject. Okay, listen. None of these seats belong to you. Okay? Just come on now. All right. They belong to God, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And so while you wanna get your seat, but let's just say somebody new come to church and they get in your seat. Are you going to chase them from the Lord? Would their soul be damned to hell because you want your particular seat? I'm going to put it on. How many souls have we lost up in here because you won't sit at the end of the road? Love is the answer. Love is the answer. All right? Okay. I'm going to get off of it. I'm feeling y'all like, okay, Pastor, move on. Sound boot, scratch that from the sermon. Yeah, they got seat beef up in here, man. But we was talking about seriously seeking him. And that's how serious some people are, man. They won't be here on time. They got to be here. Listen, couples fall, husbands and wives fall out. Hey, God. Because somebody can't get dressed on time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, you know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, we need deliverance from it, but I'm going to tell you, that's how serious we are about being in his house. You know what I'm saying? I want to be there on time for work. I want to be there on time for worship. I want to be there. Are you with me here so far? So, like, that's how much I love him. That's how much I'm seeking him. I want to see the announcements. I want to hear the first song. You understand what I'm saying? That's how serious I am about it. Now, at the same time, we want to be in the spirit because things happen and you're not going to make it all the time. And so we show mercy. You know, but you tell them, listen, I'm serious about seeking the Lord. And don't crack your knuckles when you do it. We didn't make it this time, but somebody say diligent. It's a persistent, a serious, a earnestness about seeking him. You know, it's serious. And it's not just about serious at church, amen. I did not say serious, I say serious. You see, it's a seriousness about it. You know, and the thing about it is in your personal reading is the same way. You see, when you don't let people steal your time with God, you're serious about God. Oh, yeah. You tell the children, you know, hold on, you know. Or you teach them that when that door is closed and that light is on in that cloud, you teach them that, you know, oh, yeah, mama and dad with the Lord, my dad and dad with the Lord. Or they pass and they see you on the knees. They know that they don't, you know, if it's not, the house ain't on fire, you know. Listen, waffles can wait till we done. Somebody say serious. Yes. A diligent. Now, in this diligent is not only a seriousness, it's a not giving up. Even when things not working out in our life, we keep seeking him. We might not have the job we want, the money not be the way it want, you know what I'm saying? And here we are in this place, and there's some saying, well, Pastor, you say I would be rewarded, and I know that I'm better than when I started, but it's not happening as fast as I would like it. My answer to you would be, keep seeking him. He's never lied. He's so faithful. You just be diligent about seeking him. And part of diligence is not just only being serious, it's being committed to the point where you don't give up. You understand what I'm saying? Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to seek him because I know he's going to come through on my behalf. I'm going to have that home. I'm going to have that car. I'm going to have those things that he promised me if I just keep seeking him. All right? And a lot of times it'd be a faith thing on our behalf. And sometimes, amen, if we don't really believe the promise not going to be activated. All right? And so part of this scripture, and I'm kind of, you know, moving a little too fast, baby, but part of the scripture is two things that God wants you to believe. When you look at this text, it's two things. He wants you to believe that he is. But there's a conjunction there. He is, and it's two things he wants you to believe. That he is and part of his existence. He is part of his being. And is that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. It's a faith thing. He wants you to believe it. You got to believe it. That God not going to let you come after him and not bless you. He's not going to do it. And so some of us have a faith problem in that area. We worship the wrong God. We have the wrong concept. Our theology is off. That we would come to church all these times. That we would read the Bible all these times. That we'd sit and hear all these sermons all these times and show all that diligence and God wouldn't bless us. But that's some of your theology. And it's part of the reason you're not blessed because you don't believe. You've gotten through the first hurdle. You believe that he is. But you have not gotten to the point where you believe that he's a rewarder yet. Oh, God, have mercy. Hey! You got to believe it. Listen, our old religion didn't teach us that. To serve God meant to be broken, busted in some monastery somewhere, wrapped in a burlap sack. You understand? No money. Vow of poverty. That's not what our Bible says. And that's not what our Bible teaches. The people who believed God the most was the most blessed. Oh, man, I'm trying to. Diligently seek him. You see? Now, what I want to share with you is that this thing is scripture. And the Bible says that scripture cannot be broken. And I don't like to say it like this, and I want you to just take it with a grain of salt, because I don't like to be pushy with God. Because everything we receive from him is grace, is mercy, is just love. He don't have to do anything for us. But what I want to show you is that God obligated himself. He obligated himself. He put himself under covenant with us, under a contractual relationship with us. Listen to me, man. It'd be like a person, amen, saw that you needed something. Now, you can't pay them. You understand what I'm saying? But this person tell you they got enough money, they got enough property. They tell you, I'm going to give you this house. I'm going to give you this house. And what you do, you say, well, all right, I'm going to take it. You go to shake their hand. They say, no, come to the contract table. Come to the closing table. And you're like, man, I ain't got nothing. Don't worry about it. I'm going to put it in contract, but it's going to be a gratuitous donation to you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to donate it to you. I'm going to give it to you. But I'm just not going to give you my word. I'm going to put it in contract. I'm going to sign it. We're going to have witnesses, and somebody going to notarize it. I'm going to just, are you with me here so far? The person don't have to do it is what I'm saying. God has put himself in a contractual relationship with you. He's promised to give you some things that he didn't have to promise to give you. Are you with me here so far? And I'm trying to be so respectful to him as I talk about it, because he didn't have to do it. The whole idea of a gratuitous donation is grace. That's the Latin, it's grace, it's gratuitous, it's grace, it's unmerited, you don't deserve it. But once it's on paper, it's mine. Oh, God, it's mine. It's on paper, it's mine. Oh, God. God done put a, he put a clause here, right here, that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Get in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit that every time you open that Bible at night or in the daytime, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Get in your heart and in your mind tonight that every time you pray and bow down your head and say, thank you, Father, for this day. Lord bless. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Get in your mind and your spirit tonight that every time you say grace over your meal, thanking him and praising him for everything that he's done, he is a rewarder. Easily, you know what I'm talking about. That big house the Lord done bless you with, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Get in your mind and your heart tonight that every time you come to Bible study, every time you come to church, as you're walking in, just say, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm here because, listen to me now, you coming through these doors not understanding what you're qualifying yourself for. He put it down there. Strengthen your faith. Strengthen your faith. Don't come up in here sour, like, oh, I gotta be here. Gotta be here. I wanna be here. I wanna be here. I wanna be. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. I don't know. I'm showing up. I don't know what he gonna bless me with. I'm showing up. My God, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. It says, he is. He is. Oh, God. See, there's two ways you could say that. You could say, Mark Brandon, he rewards them that diligently seek him. But the Bible didn't say that. The Bible say, he is a rewarder. That's a different thing, Jen. That's a different thing. That's like somebody saying, I fish. and somebody saying, I'm a fisherman. You know what I'm saying? I box. But I'm a boxer. I sing. But I'm a singer. Are you with me here? I cook. But I am a cook. I'm a cooker. I cook it. You see, he is a rewarder. It's not saying what he do. It's saying who he is. Hey, God have mercy. That's a different thing altogether. You see, what you do, you could do it or not do it. But who you are, oh, somebody got. What you do, you could do it or not do it, but who you are comes out of you. He says, he is a rewarder. It strengthens the contract. It tells us that not only will he reward, he can't help doing it. He can't help doing it because it's his person. It's his being. It's who he is. You got some things about you. It's who you are. And in life, amen, it's just some things that is part of your being. You really never going to stop doing those things. And I'm talking about the good things about you, not the bad things about you. You see? You are an administrator. My Lord, you are a cook. So I said, bon, too. Ate some before I came here. Couldn't wait till after Bible was done. I said, let me go ahead and try it. You see? There's TP. Same thing. All right? It's who you are. God is a rewarder. Can't help it. Can't help it. Can't help it. Every time you come, he gotta break you off something. He gotta break you off something. Right now in the spirit, he telling me he rewarding y'all right now. He rewarding y'all right now. I want you to picture God wrapping a present for you, putting a bow on it for you. You don't even know what it is yet, but he doing. He wrapping it up, getting it ready for you. Hey, you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what it is. Somebody building it for you right now. Somebody putting a plan together for you right now. Somebody designing it right now. Listen to me now. He's a rewarder. It's happening right now. While you are here. While you are here. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the type of God we serve. You see? Type of God we serve. You see? And so I want to begin. I want to start off and I done messed around and I never got to the rewards again. But I'm going to talk about the first one. Then we're going to come back next Tuesday and we're going to just deal with all the rewards that you're going to get. You understand what I'm saying? You know? You know, let's look at the rewards. You know, and I want to start off with the best reward. Might not seem much to you, but just wait a while as we develop it. You see? See, the first reward you get for seeking God is him. Woo! Brent, I didn't put it up there, but look up Genesis 15 and 1. I didn't put it, but just look it up. And while you look it up, I'm going to talk. You see, when you diligently seek after God, you find the greatest reward, which is him. In the Bible, he's described as the pearl of great price. He's described as the treasure hidden in the field. You know the story when the Bible said the man sold all he had to purchase the field so he could get that treasure. You see? You see? That's God to us, y'all. He's the one needful thing. You see, I dare say you could have God and none of the rest of these rewards and be right or right. You know what I'm saying? You see? So in Genesis 15, when I keep looking at this one, it must be broken. The bulb must have went out. Y'all can see it on this side. I'm going to read it to y'all. You know, so we can look at it good. What book, y'all? What chapter? What verse? You want to see if y'all listen? Bible say after these things. This is when Abraham went rescue Lot. And destroyed all those kings. And they had all kind of bounty and spoils that the kings of Sodom wanted to give Abraham. His name was Abram at that point. And they was about to bless him with all this. And Abraham said, nah, y'all keep y'all stuff. I don't want nothing from y'all. Abraham told him, amen. The Bible said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God said, Abram, I'm your reward, boy. I'm your reward. I'm your great reward. You know? And this is beautiful. See, Braylon, he's not only the rewarder, but he is also the reward. That's a beautiful thing to me. You see? My notes say the greatest reward is God. To possess him is to possess more than anything else in heaven and earth. To possess him exceeds all treasures. You see? Songwriters say, give me you. Everything else could wait. Give me you. My chance, I hope, is not too late. Songwriter say, Lord, give me you. Sometimes you can't just say it once. Lord, give me you. And she go up high. Lord, give me you. You know what I'm talking about? You see? Yes. You see, he the greatest treasure because he the only treasure that can really fill our hearts anyway. All the other things I'm going to go through, amen, they good, but nothing satisfies like God. Nothing satisfies. And you could be in a place where you want things, and we all want things, you know? But the funny thing about a thing is, after you get it, you want something else. And you don't ask what Jesus was telling the woman at the well. He was like, those that drink of this fountain, they're going to thirst again. Jesus told her, you drink of this water, this water? He said, you'll never thirst again. You understand what I'm saying? And what he was telling her was, once you get God, you satisfied with God. You ain't going around looking for no other God. Your whole life is going to be to get more of him, but you ain't going under no other water fountain. You ain't getting no trying. You drink of this, you ain't going to never thirst for nothing else again. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. And we all want something, yeah, y'all. But just have a caveat in your mind that after the house, after the call, come on, Miss Angela. Bro, Steve, y'all know what I'm talking about. After the house, the property, all that. Yes, Lord. He can't fill that spot that God only can fill. Yes, so do your thing, girl. Do your thing, boy. Start that business. Do it. Like, get it. Yes. You know? But never forget. He's our great reward. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Give me you. Give me you. Yes. Yes. You see? Jeremiah 29:13. We almost out of here. Boy, that time passed fast, y'all. I told y'all. You know what I'm saying? Must be. In 29:13, God says this. And you shall seek me. And find me. I love that. See, Ms. Denise, God ain't playing no hide and seek with people, no. Know what I'm saying? Trying to hide from you. Right where you think he, yeah, he come, he move, hide someplace else. God not doing that, man. God said, when you seek me, you will find me. Well, yeah, I ain't, you know. You know the people you play hide and seek with, they don't know how to hide. You always go find them. That's how little old boy must be. He's like, boy, are you hiding? And my dog, listen. Well, God not playing hide and seek, man. The moment you purpose in your heart to seek after him, he says, no doubt, you will find me. Come on, give God some glory, amen. He said, you will find me. But this is the only caveat. He said, when you shall search with me, search for me with all your heart. God, that's that serious, diligent searching right there. That's that, God, I ain't here for nothing else. You know? I'm coming for you. Amen. God said in 14, I will be found of you. Is that beautiful or what? You seek me and find me. You shall search me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, said the Lord. And this is the scripture our people need to get. The Hebrews need to get. Because we need to seek him. We need to search for him as a people. He says, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, said the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away from captive. All you got to do is seek me. All you got to do is look for me. It's an easy thing. Just come and get me. See, if our people just come back to church. If our people just come back and study the Bible, if our people just listen, every Hebrew church should be packed. Just come back to church. Just seek me again, God's saying, and you're going to find me. And I'm going to turn away all the curse, all the captivity. Amen. He said, if you seek me, you see. And listen, I'm going to stop right there because of our time, you see. But seeking God is an easy thing. You know, if you're here tonight, it's not by accident or happenstance, but God brought you here. He brought you here because he had a message for you. The message is he want to bless you, but he can't bless you till you come after him. And the first step of coming after him, amen, is to come after his cross, to come after the Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No man can come to the Father but by him, Jesus said. The only way to get to the Daddy, to get to the Father, is through the Son. And all we got to do tonight, if you're here, you want to be saved, you want to seek the Lord while he can be found, you want to start this life of rewards and blessings to be poured upon you, the first step is this. You admit you're a sinner. You believe God. Believe that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for your sins. Trust him. Trust him. Believe that Jesus died on the cross but was buried in the grave and on the third day he rose. Trust it. Trust it. Just don't know it, but trust that that cross alone can save. The essence of trust is for you to know a thing and for you to commit yourself to that thing and rely upon that thing. If there's a burning building and a little boy is at the third floor of that building and the fire is coming up, there can be people downstairs, amen, with one of those blankets out, amen. They know that the people strong enough to catch him and the blanket gonna hold him. You could know all of those things. But if the child never jumps, you see, the believing is two steps. I see it, I know it, but then there's a jump. The jump represents the trust. I'm gonna rely upon it. I'm gonna commit myself to it. And if they don't catch me, I'm not going to be caught. That's faith in Christ. You're in a building that's on fire. And Jesus is standing at the bottom. And he's saying, jump. You can know he's there, but he's saying, jump. He said, Jesus, I don't know if you're going to catch me. He's saying, jump. Jesus, I'm a little heavy. He's saying, jump. Oh, God, Jesus, you don't know what I've done. He's saying, jump. Come unto me, all ye weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. He's saying, jump. But Jesus, I can go back and tie some blankets together. That's not going to do. Jump. Jesus, why don't you call one of the mother Muhammad or somebody? Maybe they can help you catch me. Uh-uh. Jump. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Ooh. So tonight, to be saved is to rely upon him solely, exclusively, as your Savior. It is the start of you saying, give me you, God. Give me you, God. I hope it's not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you, Lord. Lord. Well, if I could sing, y'all would be in trouble. Lord, give me you, Lord. I'm a prayer. Yeah. Give it to me. Yes, yes, yes.
Give me you. Hope I'm not too late.
Give me, give me.
Lord, give me you.
Hey!
Lord, give me you.
That's what I was trying to do.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you.
Give it. Give it.
Everything else can wait.
Hey.
Give me you.
My God.
I hope I'm not too late.
Don't let me be too late.
Lord, give me you.
Come on, come on.
Lord, give me you.
Jesus.
Lord, give me you.
Oh.
Lord, give me you.
Come on, give God some glory up in this house. Hey! We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And after we pray, we can do that a little bit more, but you know. Somebody say, Father God, thank you for wanting a relationship with me. I'm not perfect. I have my flaws, and I'm sorry. But if it's faith you want, it's faith that I have. I believe you, God. I trust you, God. I take the leap of faith. I'm jumping in your arms. You're the only Savior. Please catch me. I'm coming after you. Save me, Lord. I believe you died. You were buried. And you rose on the third day. Save me, Lord. And God, give me you. And reward me for seeking you. I believe you now. That you're going to bless me for coming after you. I thank you, Lord, for every blessing you are preparing right now for me seeking you. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I got a prophetic word. God just told me some of y'all on back order right here because you've been coming to church for all these years, but you didn't believe that he rewards you for it. So he got all these rewards backed up. But they was backed up because unbelief had stopped the shipment. But something happened tonight where unbelief was moved out the way. And God is loading up the trucks. He's loading up the church. He's saying they got it now. They believe that I am. And they believe that I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek them now. Now, now, now. The rewards are coming now. The blessings are coming now. Now, now. Yes. 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 May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. May your prayer all the rest of the week be, give me you, Lord. Give me you, Lord. Give me you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed. Chancey, lead us out. Lead us out.
Can wait.